Welcome to the worst week yet, the least informed podcast on the left. It's a podcast where every week we accidentally get a contact high and end up having a mild panic attack into a microphone because we've convinced ourselves that we've somehow developed Lou Gehrig's disease. I'm your host, Andrew Hillary, and I am joined today by Kennedy Cooper. Kennedy, how's your Lou? Do you got Lou Gehrig's disease?
I don't even get an epithet. Just I'm joined by Kennedy Cooper.
Look, if you have to stand in front of a crowd of people and try and convince yourself that you don't currently have ALS, you'd understand, okay?
I've got
Lou Bega's disease.
Yeah, Lou Bega's disease.
Yeah, I did a comedy show last night, and it was in a venue where people could smoke weed. So there was just everybody was smoking weed. You know, like if you're allowed to smoke weed in a place, everybody's going to get stoned. And I was like sitting there, and I was about to go on stage, and the comic before me, he had joke. He was doing like a routine about Lou Gehrig's disease or whatever. And I'm like sitting there, and I'm like, let me come clean. I don't know what the symptoms of Lou Gehrig's disease are. I know it's bad, but like, I don't know. And I'm like sitting there. I'm like, wait a minute. My thigh has kind of hurt for a while. And like, my knee is not doing too good. Like, is this the early onset? And I'm like sitting there. And then I realized right before I went on stage, I was like, oh, I know why I'm thinking about how the fact, how I will someday die. I'm stoned right now.
I have a contact high.
So I went on stage and like I got maybe like 2 minutes in before I had to come clean and tell the audience that I thought I was dying. Like, but it ended up being really funny. They liked it a lot. I had a good set. I'm good at comedy sometimes. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Who would have thought? How you
a
doing,
little
Kennedy?
Bit of comedy in my life.
A little bit of laughter on the side. A little bit of silly jokes, all I need. Jesus fucking Christ. What's up with you? How you doing?
I'm doing. I'm going to try curing my own salamis tomorrow. It's exciting for me.
Oh, no. What? Do they have Lou Gehrig's disease?
Yeah, they've got Lou Gehrig's disease.
There is no
We're gonna
cure.
See if we can save him with little tiny vaccine needles.
Wait, okay. What does salami start off as? Is that like a pork? That's a pork, right?
Usually, yeah.
So you get pork, you grind it up, you put it in a tube. Then what? How do you cure a salami?
You put it in a environment that simulates like a cave in Italy.
Oh, you put it in a little habitat. Okay.
Yeah, you put it in a little habitat and you let it dry out at a natural rate.
Do you put like a stick and a rock and like maybe like a little bit of moss to simulate its natural? I'm thinking of a bug. That's how you make a habitat for a bug. That's also probably not the best way to raise a bug. Do you get fireflies out there in New Mexico, Kennedy?
Not really. There's a couple spots in like northern New Mexico. If you go camping in the right places, you can see them. But like, I don't ever do that really.
Fireflies are so cool. One time I went to a party and right as I was walking into the party, I saw a firefly. So I caught it and I put it in my mouth. And then I walked into the party and when everybody turned to say hi to me, I spit it out. And everybody was like, what the fuck?
Okay, that's amazing.
Yeah, so I have some also it tasted fucking crazy on my tongue because it was just in my mouth for a little bit. They're trying to make us eat the bugs, except this one guy's doing it for party tricks.
I wonder what you were exposing yourself to.
I don't know, but this other time I went to a party dressed as Flavor Flav. I don't know if I've told the story. Forgive me if I have. I went to a costume party. It was like a Halloween party in July, one of those kind of deals. And I went dressed as Flavor Flav. And no blackface, in case anybody was wondering. Just the outfit. But
I do feel like, unfortunately, you have to specify. Yeah. You are the kind of white guy comedian that it's like...
Fair.
You have a blackface story in your past, maybe.
Fair. But no, I went to this party just as Flavor Flav, and you know, I had a big ass clock around my neck, and I was so stoked, and I was like, I want to be real flashy whenever I enter this party. So it was July, so I went and got some sparklers and attached them to the clock and then lit them right as I was going into the party. So I walked in with this clock with sparklers on it, and I caught myself on fire.
I was about to say, you caught on fire, right?
Yeah, here's the thing about sparklers. Don't tape them to something you're wearing around your neck. It's a bad move. It's a bad move. Anyways, listeners, you may be noticing a lack of Deanna. Something, a little bird told me that she thinks she's too good for us. Well, Deanna told me. No, nobody told me. Deanna is okay. Look, we don't know where Deanna is. Well, I know she's teaching a class, but I don't know where that class is being taught. I'm thinking deep state connections. What do you think, Kennedy?
Yeah, I think deep steak connections actually is what I was thinking. There's a USDA insider.
Oh, that's fucked up because Deanna's like a vegan and shit. So like what she went off the grid so she could secretly sneak a steak. Wow.
I'm not even sure if she's eating them. She's just profiting off of the steaks, which, you know, really, really messed up when you think about it, to be like, yeah, I'm a vegan, but then you're secretly making money off of the industrial war steak bonds complex. yeah, we don't know exactly where Deanna is. We hoped she would be free by now. She appears not to be. We got to record this show, so we're moving on. But Deanna, we love you.
Yeah, bring us leftovers.
Yeah, bring us some steaks. You got those? Give me those cheap steaks. I know you got the hookup.
Yeah,
that reminds me. There was this guy that worked at this place. That my partner works. It's a meat butchery shop.
Hell yeah.
And he
it's a meat
he was,
shop.
he was stealing meat and trying to sell it to a restaurant. Pilfered meat.
Black market steaks. All right,
black
a couple
market
things.
Steaks, they're real. See, I'm not making up the kind of crime Deanna's into.
A couple things. First of all, did I ever tell you that I went to a ham bar in Spain?
I'm sorry. A ham bar?
A fucking ham bar.
Moving to Spain.
So you walk into this bar. It looks just like a bar, except instead of like bottles on the wall behind the bar, it's just legs of pork.
Oh my fucking god!
And they're like, yeah. Well, can I get some top shelf pig leg shavings? I guess I don't know. It was pretty dope. It was pretty dope. There was another thing I wanted to say about meat bars, but oh, I know what it is. You remember that lady that got fired from that grocery store because she was just eating like one or two pieces of lunch meat every day for like 7 years? And they like added up the cost of all the lunch meat. And they were like, over the course of the last decade, you stole $1,000 in deli meat from us. Do you remember that lady?
I want to say yes just to sound informed, but the honest answer is no.
Well, the point is, I hope she's okay. I hope she's doing good. I hope she got a job.
I thought there was an update.
No. Why would you expect this news show to have any relevant information, Kennedy? Come on, you know us
all right,
better
well,
than
let's,
that.
Let's do the Patreon read shit like that, but then after the show, you got to tell me more about this ham bar, okay?
Okay. I have a picture of me standing in front of the wall of shanks. I don't know what they're called.
Oh, my God.
It was very tasty. Yeah, as Kennedy alluded to, we do have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/worstweekyet. We are currently in the midst of, it was Final Destination February, but there are more Final Destination movies than there are weeks in February. So it is transformed to Final Destination Fartuary, where we are reviewing the films of the Final Destination universe. Now, we haven't recorded the fifth and final, anyways, we haven't recorded the episode yet, and I don't want to give too much away, But I told Kennedy that the fifth one was one of my favorites of the series. How did you feel about it? Just a very general vibes.
It was very amusing.
Okay.
I have mixed feelings about it in some ways, but it also is a pretty enjoyable ride. I think if I was going to show somebody the Final Destination movies, I would show them just 3 and 5.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, so anyways, if you'd like a more in-depth look at how us idiots
also we're doing a bonus.
Oh yeah.
Till death do us part, I think.
Till death do us fortuary. I don't know. Yeah, anyways, head on over to patreon.com. That's the point we're trying to make.
Made by the people who made Final Destination movies or something like that. So
yeah, we'll see.
In your noggin.
But anyways, if you give $10 a month, we say your name. So just want to give a quick shout out to Chauncey Unders, Terminally Online Leftist, Zap Actions Down, Omega Force Base, Nandy Angelus, Old Hobgoblin, Dracula 206, AJ from Baltimore, The Man in the West, Optimus Crime, Pablo Hummus, Goblin Mode, Andrea Humphrey, yep. You Fuck Like My Dad, Josh Trooping, Why Not I Pay More for OnlyFans, Brienne, Nick Adams, parentheses, Alpha Male, Idnex, and CIA Brainbugs. Patreon.com/worst week yet. All right.
I was just being your hype man a little bit that time.
Yeah, no, you were doing the Flavor Flav role. I like it. Okay. Did you know Flavor Flav can play like 27 instruments or something?
I completely believe that. Yeah. People really think that he's just the character, but it's like he just did that to help him get more famous. Mm-hmm. You know, he just did that to make him stand out from other people doing similar things.
And also, part of why he did it, I have to imagine, was just for fun. Like, I don't know. Kennedy, have you ever worn a clock around your neck?
He's a fun-loving guy, that guy.
Hell yeah. Okay, so we've got a lot of news to cover. And by a lot, I mean not that much.
Oh, this reminds... Actually, can I open with an item?
Of course.
Lil Jon has released a guided meditation album.
Okay. See what I did there?
Yeah, I did. It's called Total Meditation. He collaborated with this guy that makes a lot of meditation music and has done albums with Deepak Chopra and other notable philosophy types, modern philosophy types. I think that's the best term I could use. And Lil Jon is apparently very into meditation for the last few years. This album has 10 different 10-minute guided meditations with different topics. Just Lil Jon gently talking to you about being more focused or getting over grief or things like that. I just think that, you know, news shows sometimes report when an album drops. This is the one that we're going to report on.
Let's get it on the top 100 charts. Lil Jon's meditation app. Do we know the name of it?
Yeah, the album is called Total Meditation.
Hell yeah. Let's get it that Worst Week Yet bump.
It's a very amusing listen, if nothing else, because obviously he's a funny guy and he's pretty self-aware. So the intro track in particular, he says some very funny stuff because it's like that one's not really like a meditation. It's just kind of like a welcome to the album thing.
Yeah, he's setting the scene.
And yeah, and he's like, this time we're going to turn down the volume.
Hell yeah. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go listen to Lil Jon's guided meditation album, everybody. Also, try meditation. Might be good for you. I don't know. The world's not great.
I can attest to that. Yeah. so thank you for that update. Let's dive in. I do have our first news story. The soft on crime Democrats are letting our country become a lawless wasteland where criminals roam free and no one is safe. As evidence of this, our first story this week comes out of the deep blue liberal bastion of New York City, where the woke Democratic governor has deployed the National Guard to search people's bags on the subway.
Oh!
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They made the army woke. The liberals. The liberals, Kennedy. This is, have you seen the fucking
images of this? This is my shock face. Yeah, I have. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's fucking people in army fatigues with fucking assault rifles like, oh, let me see your bag before you get on the subway. And here's the thing. When you hear liberals talk about this, I think Kathy Hochul was talking about this, and she's like, well, statistically, crime rates have gone down. But, like, people don't feel safe. So we're going to put the military in their face and have them be searched at gunpoint. There you go. There you go. That's one way to correct a problem that you're imagining, I guess. This is really gross. This is really fucking gross. Because, like, I don't know. You know, Alex Jones has a bad rap, and deservedly so, but like one of the things he always talked about was like the police state, which at the time he was talking about it, there wasn't a lot of evidence for it, you know? But like, it seems like more and more people are just like, the solution to high crime is more police. And then when the crime goes down, the solution is to pretend it didn't and put even more police there. And in fact, some military. Yeah. Why not? I don't understand. Like, I get that people don't feel safe. And that's like kind of always been a thing. Like, relative actual statistical safety doesn't seem to have had any impact on how safe people feel. I guess with like the internet and social media, like people are seeing more videos of like crimes or whatever, but like, I don't fucking, if you have a lower chance of it, it's frustrating.
You know what? You know, I gotta say to people, you don't feel safe. Fine. Good. You're not safe. The world is dangerous as shit. All right. I don't know what to tell you. We do our best to make it safer, but we can only do what we can. But you know what statistically doesn't make things safer? It's putting people with guns all over the fucking place. All right. Statistically, that consistently makes things less safe when you just have people roaming around with guns on their person. Just hanging out.
And it's all right? Fucking theater too. This doesn't actually do anything. Cause like, if you listen to it, Kathy Hochul was being interviewed and they were like, so what are you going to do? Like put these National Guard troops at every subway station. And she's like, no, we're just going to put them at like the more high traffic areas. And it's like, okay, you're literally telling if somebody wants to bring a gun onto the subway, it's like, hey, just go to a different stop. You'll be fine. Like, what the fuck is this?
Just go to the poor part of town if you've got to shoot somebody. Jeez.
It reminds me of that, like the, what was it? The sanitation theater? Is that what they called it? Like in the early days of things opening back up after COVID, like people would be like, oh, we disinfected our whole blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you didn't fucking do anything. You're still like letting people in without masks. It's not really doing anything. It's all fucking theater. It's a fucking show. And like the consequences will not be, the results won't be anybody's more safe. It'll be fucking minorities are targeted more and harassed by more operatives of the state. It's all a load of bullshit. And I don't like it.
I don't like it at all. Yet people will tell you, oh, we got to keep Trump out to prevent fascism. Well, fascism is happening. This is it. This is the thing right here. This is the thing.
Okay, wait a second, Kennedy. I'm sorry. I don't want to like get into a fight this early in the episode, but like, what is it that is fascist about men in fatigues holding you at gunpoint and asking and demanding to search your belongings? What is fascist about that? You're just like using words, you know? You're just saying stuff.
You know what? You're right. It's not fascism until Robot Hitler shows up.
Wait, I heard somebody say on a podcast, they were like, it's only fascism if it's from the fascist region of Italy. otherwise, it's just sparkling tough on crime. I don't know. It's a bunch of bullshit. And, you know, we don't deserve the safety that we also are not getting. Hey.
I'm not even saying we can't have some safety. I'm just saying that desire for absolute safety is a hole that can't be filled, and trying to fill it is dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you'd be better off making decisions that might bring people out of poverty, which would lead to less people being involved in the kind of crime that results in random people getting robbed or whatever. Doing this in the short term, it like gives the facade, but it actually doesn't address any of the issues that cause people to be in those positions. And like there's only one direction you go, is just keep adding more and more cops until like one out of every two Americans is a cop or something. Like, what the, there is no long-term solution of this. Like, it's not like, oh, we put National Guard on the subway for a couple weeks and everybody chilled out. It's like, no, like that doesn't address the things that are causing people not to be I don't fucking know. I hate it. You know what I don't hate though, Kennedy?
What, ham bars in Spain?
Well, yes.
I got a one-track mind, okay, buddy?
I do too. And proof in point, you know what I don't hate is boobs. This week on The Woke Wars.
The Woke Week yet?
The Woke Week yet!
We're changing the name of the show, folks.
Yeah, that's a sticker for sure. This week on The Woke Wars, Sydney Sweeney's boobs were on Saturday Night Live last week. And I...
Explained for somebody who doesn't know anything.
Okay, I'm like being facetious. I know it sounds like I'm being a fucking like pig about this, but there's been a discourse happening all week long about Sydney Sweeney's boobs, and about how like boobs are back, and about how like the American fucking like boobs are defeating wokeness. Like, that's the thing that people have been saying. Like, I know I'm being glib about this. I'm not. I mean, I like boobs, but I'm
it
not.
It reminds
like
me of like when people will be like,
I don't know what's happening.
They'll get on Twitter. You ever seen these posts that go viral that are like, not like mega viral, but they'll get like 40,000 likes, and they'll be like, you know, making out is so underrated. And it's like, there's nothing underrated about making out. Making out is a completely rated activity. It is thoroughly rated, okay? but like, it's like boobs are back. It's like boobs never left.
Yeah, there's never been a time, in at least in my lifetime, where people were like, man, I just like, if a girl has tits, I'm out, dude. Like...
If there's boobs in the movie, I'm gone. You rarely hear that.
Yeah. And I don't, again, like, I don't know what this, I don't know what to make of it, because like this, I think it's like people are like really it. Here's the thing. I like Sydney Sweeney as an actress. I think she's been good in a few things. I think she's been in some really fucked up shit, like that Euphoria show is all fucking, there's so much shit with that. Also that new rom-com that came out, Anyone But You, I watched it the other day. It's like one of the worst written movies I have ever seen in my life. Like, every line of dialogue, everything, the movie is terrible, but Sydney Sweeney is not the problem. Like, she was in that movie Reality. She's very good in that. But like, people are just so fucking weird about her, and I don't understand what's happening, because I saw multiple posts from like right-wing people like saying how good it was that that woke is no match for cleavage or something. Like, I can barely comprehend what they're saying. And then like within a day or two, somebody posted, another fucking right-wing person posted like a picture of Sydney Sweeney like with full like red carpet makeup and then a picture of her where she's not wearing any makeup. And then they were like doing this whole discourse about how she's a fucking liar. Like, and I'm like, can we just decide, or like, can we just leave this lady alone? I don't fucking know, man. Here's the thing. Most wars get ugly, you know, but the woke wars, they don't even make sense. Like, I don't. It seems like people are fighting on both sides of them.
Are perplexing. I can't tell who's fighting who sometimes.
Yeah. Or like, what are you fighting for? Do you want boobs to? I like boobs, but also if you show them, then you're going to hell. But also if you, like, what? I don't fucking know. I'm like.
The right wing guys just, they keep devolving, you know?
Yeah.
Is part of it. And so, like, they keep becoming more and more like a self-parody. And so, you know, they've gone all the way in on, like, they're just unironically going to fawn over any conventionally attractive blonde, and blonde has an asterisk there because Sydney Sweeney dyes her hair, which there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just, you know, it's just kind of funny that this thing that they want so bad, it's just like so obviously a manufactured thing in a way, it's like they just keep, it's like how they, you know, in the 90s, even Republicans would be like, well, yeah, it's good if we limit coal burning and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, they would at least like say that stuff. Now they're like, we got to burn as much coal as we can. Rolling coal, baby, on a planetary scale. Like,
wait a second. Like, wait a second.
It's like the same thing for like women, like the way that they objectify women is becoming like more and more of this like extreme weird like thing that is like, yeah, I don't know. What are you gonna say?
I was just gonna say, do you think at some point, like, and this is something that like probably my best guess, like, just happened like kind of naturally. Nobody like sat down and thought about it, but like, I guess it's possible that at some point somebody sat down and thought about like, wait a minute, if we just say the most bombastic and unrealistic and completely unachievable things and pretend that those are our actual goals and keep it as vague as possible, we will never have to actually do anything ever again. Like,
I mean,
like,
yeah, kind of. I mean, if you make your goal, we're bringing boobs back. There's no metric by which to prove if you've won or lost. And so you can make it a crisis at any time you want. Like, the liberals are threatening boobs. And then you just post something like, a woman got a double mastectomy because she had breast cancer or something like that. And you put a deceptive headline on the photo or some shit. The wokes are taking away your boobs again. And then, you know, later on, if it makes more sense to be triumphant, you can just be triumphant. It's like an issue that, like, there's no measure for if you're winning or losing the boob war.
Yeah.
Because it's so completely fictional that there's no way to even tell what would represent reality there.
Speaking of representations of reality, this week Joe Biden gave his State of the Union address.
No.
First of all, did you see any clips from this?
I didn't watch any of it.
My man was hopped up. My man was hype.
Oh, they had him on that. They had him on that juice that they put him on when
he's on the,
when they really,
he's back on the blood. He's on the blood.
Well, you know what I'm talking about, though. It's like sometimes you see Joe Biden in a speech and it's like they pumped that guy full of the stuff this time.
Yeah. And it was wild. Like, just his whole way of speaking is that, like, he'll, like, whenever he's on the juice, he'll, like, he is, like, almost, like, aggressively shouting everything, and, like, he's, like, squinting. It's he looks like he is working so hard to speak, and, like, it is fucking wild to watch. And I will say that, like, there was a few good things in this speech, and the one that really stuck out to me is, like something that I wish... Maybe I wish would be like the entire focus of like how the Democrats try to beat Trump. And I know it won't be because they have to pretend like they're doing a good job too. But at one point, Joe Biden said something where he was talking about like January 6th. And he said this line that I think was good, where he said, "You can't love your country only when you win." And I think that like that is something that I think could maybe like it's not a great sell, but like, I think it's like more direct and to the point than a lot of the fucking bullshit that protecting democracy, blah, blah, blah. Is that like if the like Republicans claim and conservatives, they claim to be fucking patriots, but it's like you can't be a patriot and hate the fucking country at the same time. Like, I don't know. It's something that I'm like, I wish maybe that this could be a bigger focus, is that like, hey, you love America, right? Well, like this is America. Like, this is the country you love.
Don't get you slipping now.
Yeah, basically. Childish Gambino should be the president. But I don't know. So in a I would say not so shocking twist, most of the speech was some bullshit. Joe Biden at one point, Marjorie Taylor Greene yelled about Laken Riley, who's some lady that was killed by an immigrant, and Joe Biden, holy fuck. He was like, Lincoln Riley, he said her name wrong. He said, Lincoln Riley was killed by an illegal. And that's nothing, as thousands of people are killed by illegals. I personally do not like it when the president of my country uses the term illegals to, which essentially completely dehumanizes somebody that is a human being that is just here without like paperwork. Like, man, if fucking paperwork means that somebody is not a human, I don't think I want to live in this country. Like,
I think I would like to go to the moon now.
Yeah, I think I'll go live on the Pacific garbage pile. And here's the thing: is that like, oh my god,
Does anyone live on the Pacific garbage pile yet?
Buddy, let me tell you, you haven't lived until you've gone to the Pacific garbage pile. No, I don't think it can support anything. I think it's like kind of, it's mostly like bobbing for plastic bottles as opposed to like actually congealing and floating on the top. I think, I don't fucking know. I don't know how garbage works. And that's surprising considering me. But yeah, Joe Biden's talking about fucking people being illegals, and like this is, it's just, it's so fucking disgusting that like this is, I heard somebody say that the reason why Biden has like now decided to double down on immigration, like it, besides the fact that he's an old fucking racist piece of shit, is that like he cannot fix anything domestically, and he like all of his attempts like fucking Build Back Better was a fucking joke that went nowhere. The infrastructure plan, like that big whatever the fuck that thing, his crowning legislative achievement. It's like, yeah, like you got some funding to build some bridges that will take 10 years. Like there is no thing to point at.
Like a thing.
It's not tangible yet.
A thing came out just recently here in my area saying one of our bridges is like going to fall down soon, basically. Apparently that one was not covered in any federal infrastructure bill. So,
I think the idea that I can't remember where I heard this or if it's why this idea is in my head, but like that Joe Biden is focusing on the border and on immigration because it's one of the things that as president you can just do directly, so you can have this like tangible immediate result or whatever to point at. And it's like, so you're just somebody said the other day, they're like, oh, you, if you don't vote for Donald Trump, or if you don't vote for Joe Biden, then you let Trump win and you're just throwing marginalized people under the bus. And it's like, Joe Biden is literally driving the bus that he himself is also throwing the people under right now. Like, I don't know. I know Trump will be worse, but that doesn't mean Joe Biden is not also a fucking monster. He also, in the State of the Union, he also said that no one should be in jail for marijuana possession.
Oh my God, dude, stop saying that. You're the man who could change that.
As of yet,
you are the guy.
He has not changed marijuana Schedule 1 classification. So, you know,
like we're back to when, you know, Joe Biden was looking for the president. Where's the president? I'm going to find the president. I'm going to make him do something. Remember when he was just kept tweeting like stuff that just sounded like stuff that you would tweet at the president.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all trying to find the guy who runs this. He also, at one point, Joe Biden announced that the United States is planning to use its military to build a temporary dock in Gaza so that aid can be brought in. He failed to mention why we can't just use the roads. Who would know? It's impossible to say. Impossible to say. Also, did you see that we've started airdropping aid into Gaza? That we're like,
not only did I see that, but I saw that one of the aid airdrops went wrong and killed 5 people.
Yeah. Couple fucking of the people were quote unquote trying to save, got crushed to death by a fucking pallet of food falling from the sky because we didn't bother to, you know, get parachutes that worked. So, yeah. Also, while we're on the subject of Israel, the UNRWA this week said that, remember a couple weeks ago where there was like a couple UNRWA employees that were allegedly tied to Hamas and tied to October 7th. So, you know, the United States and most and a bunch of other countries, they're like, we're not going to fund UNRWA anymore. well, it came out this week that Israel tortured UNRWA employees to make those confessions. Hey, we're all wondering why they would say that. Yeah, turns out it's because they were being tortured. Great.
Can you add to the show soundboard Jonathan Frakes saying we made it up?
Yeah, I don't know who that is, but I can.
You remember that show Unexplained something?
No.
Hold on.
Oh, Deanna just texted me. She said, I got my times wrong, but I'm alive. So you're welcome, listeners.
Oh, good. Beyond Belief, Fact or Fiction. You ever watch that show?
No. Is it good?
Jonathan Frakes, who's also known for Star Trek. He hosts it. It's from like the 90s/early 2000s.
Ooh.
And they'd be like, here's some crazy ass story. Do you think that one's true? And then at the end, he'd tell you which ones were true of the crazy ass stories. And it's set a very funny format.
So it's like Two Truths and a Lie, the TV show?
Kinda, yeah.
That's kind of cool, actually. I like that. That's an interesting concept.
Yeah, so it'd be like, this old lady swallowed a frog and then she pooped out tadpoles. Does that sound believable to you? And you'd be like, I don't know. Maybe it sounds believable. She'd be like, no way, dog. We made that up. And then later in the episode, he'd be like, this guy was cutting a plank of wood and a splinter flew off the plank of wood and flew up his nostril and into his brain and killed him. And it's like, that one was real. And you're like, whoa.
Hell yeah. No, I've never heard of that show. And I will look into getting that on the soundboard if you remind me, because I've already forgotten what it was called. But hey, wow. Kennedy, there was some good news that came out of that came out of the State of the Union. You know, it wasn't all bad. It wasn't all bad.
State of the Onion.
That good news being that George Santos attended, where he announced that he is going to be running for Congress again.
Good for him.
Good for us. Are you kidding me? George Santos is running for Congress again, and get this, he's not running in the New York's 3rd District where he was. He's running in New York's 1st District where he's opposing this representative named Nick LaLotta that was the guy that led the charge to get him expelled in the first place. So he's going he's like coming for the guy who kicked him out seat, and that is just, you know, that's the kind of breath of fresh air we need.
You know, a Democrat would never.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
Like, imagine if Joe Kennedy.
I forgot about Joe Kennedy.
Yeah, exactly, because he just laid down like the spineless liberal he is and was like, well, I lost my one shot at politics. I guess I'll go die now. And he's just turning into a skeleton in a chair, staring at a wall now in the room full of Kennedys that we've already used up.
I know it smelled crazy in there.
But like, imagine if Joe Kennedy had been like, all right, well, I lost that election. Well, I'm coming for you, AOC, or some shit. Like, just gone mad and just started running against other people, fucking other shit up. That would have been great.
I agree. All right, let's move on. In other politics news, Super Tuesday was this week. Now, Kennedy, I was thinking on Tuesday how fucking strange it is for it to be Super Tuesday, which is typically a pretty big day in electoral politics. And both parties essentially have their nominations wrapped up already. It's like, so for Super Tuesday not to matter for the Democrats or the Republicans is crazy. Like, that's never happened in my lifetime before.
Do you remember how the Democrats sued a couple elections ago to have the right to not have to have primaries?
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, it's like, for neither, because there's always one, or there's, you know, usually one incumbent, so that nominating process isn't as like as interesting or whatever. But for both parties to be like, no, we're just doing the same guy again, that's crazy. It's fucked up.
It's unwell.
Yeah. So I, you know, we've deeply spent a lot unwell. Of time talking shit about Biden, so I think it's only fair that we point out Donald Trump's also doing some fuck shit, because, you know, as I said, just because I don't like Joe Biden does not mean I endorse Donald Trump, you fucking crazy liberals. This week, Donald Trump announced that if and when I say if, I do mean when he becomes president again, he is going to suspend all federal funding for any school that has any vaccine mandates. Meaning, like, even like measles or like the MMR vaccines or whatever. He's going to take away all the funding from every school that has any vaccine mandates. That shit is crazy. He's going to defund every school in the country. Like, whoops.
Oops.
Yeah, you know, I think more kids should have mumps.
Brave.
Brave New World Order. Yeah, so I don't know. He also, I believe he said this week, it might have been last week, that if the Israel's assault on Gaza is still happening whenever he's in power, that he's going to just let Bibi Netanyahu do whatever he wants, which people have been pointing out is very bad. Although I will say, Joe Biden has also been letting Netanyahu do whatever he wants. So it's, you know,
complex issue.
Yeah. It's the way he says it, it sounds worse, but it is functionally the exact same policy. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't care. Neither Joe Biden nor Donald Trump will stand up to Israel. And that is kind of what I'm looking for in a president. Sorry. Hey.
Great.
Yeah. fun. Dire. Dire. The Straits. They're dire. As if the Straits didn't have enough wrong with them. They're also dire. Okay. It's enough about politics. Let's talk about the army.
Do you have any fun news?
We got a little bit of fun stuff in a bit, but this story, I would say, you know, you be the judge here. Let me know what you think about this.
Oh, God. Okay.
This week, the United States Department of Veteran Affairs ruffled some feathers because a memo, an internal memo, came out, surfaced that they're banning the display of that famous photo from Victory in Japan Day, the soldier that's like grabbing that woman and kissing her. And they said that they're going to stop displaying that at any of their VA facilities because it, quote, the photo is inconsistent with the VA's no tolerance policy towards sexual harassment and assault, end quote. Which I think that's good. Like, you know, we've all seen that photo, and I did not know until maybe a few years ago that that wasn't like a couple, that was a man just grabbed a woman and kissed her. And it's like the most iconic thing. One of the most iconic images from American history is a sexual assault. You know, not great, but yeah, the VA is finally like, you know what? Like, we can't, this is wild that we still have this picture up, like knowing the history, blah, blah, blah. So that's good, right?
Yes.
Well, after the news started pissing people off, the Veterans Affairs Secretary Dennis McDonough stepped in and vetoed the decision and said the United States will not be getting rid of this photo in our VA facilities. That's right, folks.
Andrew, please don't do me like this.
In Joe Biden's America, depictions of sexual assault are A-OK. Hell yeah. Sorry, the wokes didn't win this one.
Why? I'm holding you personally responsible.
I don't think that's fair, but I did tell you. So I guess, you know, in some cases, it is okay to shoot the messenger. Here's the thing.
Shoot the shit out of this messenger.
There should be more suicidal messengers. That way, like, if you want to shoot him, it's like, ah, it's not that big of a deal. He was ready to go anyways. I'm enjoying that a little too much. I'm sorry. Okay, Kennedy, I promised you something fun.
Please.
Our next story. Chinese spy cranes.
All right, finally. Fucking something.
You thought Chinese spy balloons were bad? Now we have Chinese spy cranes. So this week, a congressional investigation found that several Chinese-made cranes have a cellular modem in them. Now, looking into this, I did find that a lot of cranes have these modems built in, and they're like to track operations and maintenance. Basically, like how
you mean construction cranes, right?
No, like cranes that would be on like a loading dock at a pier, like those kind of cranes.
Oh, okay.
You know, the big giant fucking cranes.
Yeah.
And
the reason
that these modems are put into cranes is so that they can like track, like, with their maintenances and stuff. It's the same thing as like whenever like a car's computer can tell you that you're due for an oil change. Well, it's a modem so that you don't have to climb up and check. It will just, you can connect to it and tell you like everything.
Right. There's somebody that manages like all of these for the construction company this way.
Correct.
Yeah, I get it.
Now that's, you know, the Chinese, they said, this is like so obviously just yet another American attempt to like say that we're spying on them. Like, this is just how we build cranes. Like, what the fuck? But I think it's pretty obvious that this is a secret Chinese communist plot, in my opinion, in my humble opinion. China is watching our cranes to figure out if we even lift, bro.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And frankly, I think it's about time we stopped them. Stopped lifting,
you know,
too.
I just want to point out Ukraine.
Ooh, well, in communist China, it's Wee Crane.
Yeah, well, all I'm saying is that, you know, you think that this issue isn't serious, but then you remember that, you know, Russia is invading Ukraine, and cranes are very serious right now.
Also, in this article, it said that 80% of the cranes in use in United States, like shipping like that, 80% of them are Chinese manufactured. And I will say that, like, the fact that we specifically buy Chinese stuff because it's cheaper than American stuff, like these companies are just doing this to save money, blah, blah, blah. If China is spying on us, we deserve it. Like, wow. Like, we let American manufacturing die, and now everything that comes from China, we're scared of. And it's like, well, you know, we created this problem. Or we created the grounds in which this problem could theoretically be taking place. I don't think that China, my personal opinion. I don't think that China is doing anything to us that's like all that different than we do to anybody else, or like all that threatening. Like, I don't know. I don't think China is the boogeyman that we make it out to be. I know why we do it. But I really think China is just like, we just have to wait out America. They're going to eat themselves. If we just make ourselves strong, we will win in the end. And I think they're right.
I mean, there's certainly, it's a winning strategy compared to our strategy, which is, I don't know what our strategy is. And that's the problem. Our strategy seems to be flailing around, yelling, crying, pooping our pants.
Also, I don't know if this is accurate, but I feel like I feel safe to assume that like China's economy would in no way, shape, or form have been able to grow to the point that it has if America wasn't buying so much stuff from it. And like, so we like, not only do we like find ourselves in this, like, we literally made China a superpower, or maybe that's going too far, but like, we contributed to the fact that China is our big, our competitor, and now we're like, oh, they're trying to get us. It's like, we did this. We literally created the problem we're scared of.
That's because capitalism is a made-up shadow game of fake problems, and I don't even know.
I don't know either. I hate it. Hey, Kennedy, speaking of Chinese spy technology,
okay.
The United States House of Representatives, I forgot to write down one of the committees this week voted unanimously to move forward with legislation to completely ban TikTok from all United States cell phones.
Interesting.
Well, hold on. Okay, it wouldn't outright ban TikTok. That's, maybe it's being a little too glib, a little too simplistic. What the bill would do would would force ByteDance, a private company, to sell TikTok to an American company. Otherwise, it would be completely banned. So I don't know about you, but I personally love freedom, and I think that, you know, the best part about freedom is whenever a government tells a private company what to do. Free market. Capitalism. There's no system greater than capitalism on the earth.
Hey, can I suggest something?
Okay.
Capitalism? More like crapitalism.
Holy shit. We are onto something, Kennedy.
Thank you.
Of course, like, China was like, this is fucked up. Like, they're like, what are you talking about? You want us to sell our thing to you? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm paraphrasing. But
that would be my response, though, personally.
And here's the thing is that, like, I've heard, and this might just be, like, Twitter conspiratorial thinking, like, people like... it also might be part of it that, like, one of the things about TikTok is that it's very effective for pushing propaganda. However, as opposed to, like, state propaganda, this is just propaganda that regular people post. So, like, with reporting about current events or world affairs, like, a lot of people, especially younger people, the only place that they have to get unbiased information about what's going on in Gaza is from TikTok. So I could see that maybe there's like a little bit of ulterior motives behind the U.S. government's decision. It's not just that China might be spying on us. It's that your grandkids are learning the truth about things.
Are you saying there might be interests that are conflicting here?
I mean, one might. It's, you know, it's hard to say. It's a very, it's complex. It's a complicated issue. We're
thank you for respecting the nuance.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's gonna make a lot of people mad. Like after this passed whatever committee I should have written down, like every single congressional person started getting hundreds of phone calls from teenagers like, "What the fuck? Don't take my TikTok." Which is valid, because like here's the thing, that the way that they're presenting this is that they're worried about how our data is being used. But like, motherfucker, you are letting private companies take and do whatever the fuck they want with our data. And I'm not saying that whatever China's government might be doing with our data is good, but I am comfortable saying that it is absolutely no worse than whatever fucking BlackRock is doing with it. Like,
yeah.
I don't see a world in which it's worse for China to have my data than like fucking some ghoul that works for a hedge fund. Like I don't see a difference. If you want to make it so that nobody can have my data, okay. But if you're just like, well, we can't let a different country have it, we have to give it to our billionaires, fuck you. I'm not on board. Okay, so I just wanted to end with a segment I call What Goes Up Must Come Down.
You sound hesitant.
Well, by hook or by crook, if it's up, it's coming down. We've talked a lot, Kennedy. We've talked a lot in this year about emergencies on airplanes. Now, to this point, you know, there's been a lot of like, I guess you could call them near misses, where like something goes wrong and something breaks or something fails, but you know, luckily nobody ends up dying as a result. But yeah, I just wanted to follow up because there was another story about it this week. So this week, passengers on flight United Airlines flight 1118 received quite a scare when the engine of their Boeing 737 started shooting flames out of it. Now, luckily,
this isn't a Final Destination bit, right?
No. Luckily, that plane was able to make an emergency landing and no one was hurt. Also, this week, passengers on United Flight 35 received quite a scare when the wheel...
Wow, Biscuit's the new producer of this show.
Edit that out, Gravy.
Don't edit that out.
Also, this week, on passengers on United Flight 35 received quite a scare when the wheel of their Boeing 777 fell off just after takeoff. Luckily, the plane was able to make an emergency landing and no one was hurt. Also, this week, passengers on United Flight 2477 received quite a scare when their plane lost control while landing and ended up in a grassy area next to the runway. Luckily, no one was hurt. If you are keeping track, Kennedy, that is three different Boeing planes this week that broke apart midair. When reached for comment, Boeing replied, "New phone, who this?"
To be fair, that's what I would reply.
Here's the thing. Where do you even begin with a conversation like that? You got to just be like, I don't know, buddy. Ask the other guy. Boeing literally, okay, they didn't say new phone, who this. They responded, ask United Airlines.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's either just one of the ballsiest deflections or some very ominous shit. Either way, go on.
Yeah. So John Oliver actually did a piece about this on his show last Sunday. And since that piece, it has been, as of today's recording, 1 week. And
since that piece, no one has heard from John Oliver. And the last thing found in his home is a United Airlines ticket.
But since he did that piece, three more fucking Boeing planes have broken apart in the sky.
Wait, three more?
That's the what I just read through, those three planes. The one of them, the engine caught on fire. One of them, the wheel fell off.
I thought you meant three more. I was.
Oh, no, no. Well, I mean, we're recording this on Sunday. There's no telling how many will break apart by Monday when this comes out.
Fucked up news keeps happening on Sundays lately. So let's, I guess, not get too optimistic.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, this is. I mean, I tweeted about it. I think we talked about it the last time because, like, granted, all of these things that have happened this year so far, I don't think anybody has died. Like, I don't think anybody's even been seriously injured or anything. But, like, that's really fucking lucky. Especially the plane that the door ripped off midair. Like, if somebody had been sitting in the seat next to that, they would have gotten sucked out of the plane. They would have fallen to their deaths, or that happened during like takeoff. So if the plane had been at 35,000 feet and the cabin was much more pressurized, there's no fucking telling what would have happened. If people on those planes had maybe potentially seen a vision of their deaths, there's no telling how many people would have gotten off that plane. But there is a certainty that they all would have died in mysterious circumstances shortly thereafter.
Yeah, just like how every single person at that fucking mall in Final Destination 4, they're all getting Final Destination.
Yeah, so it's I don't know. It's really upsetting, and I don't want people to die in a plane crash, but it feels almost inevitable. Like almost all the problems have happened on the Boeing 737 MAX, which is Boeing made a plane that was supposed to be more fuel efficient to compete with Airbus, which is like the only other major manufacturer of planes. And they like rush through this thing. It's the same one that
wait, a plane's playing basketball against a dog.
Yes, and there's no rule against it, and you cannot find one that says there is. So good luck trying to find it. That 737 MAX, that's the same plane that, if you remember, a few years ago, two of them crashed and killed everybody on board in, I think, Ethiopia and Indonesia. I might be getting those wrong. I don't know. But yeah, like that's the same plane. It's had issues from jump because it was not designed with anything other than like we have to make our stock price go up in mind. And I think it is like only a matter of time before one of these planes crashes. And like we haven't had a plane like a catastrophic plane crash in the United States since the 90s, since I forget what flight it was, but it was.
I'm sorry, did you say since the 90s?
In the United States, like there hasn't been like a major. Oh, okay, okay, I see what you're.
Have you forgotten?
I guess.
Got your ass.
I guess.
God damn it!
I broke the one fucking rule.
We have one rule on this show.
I remember now. Well, this is, I can't believe I ended. This is the end of the show as I forgot 9/11. But yeah, you know. Somebody needs to do something about Boeing, and if not, people will die. And yeah.
Well, did you say somebody needs to do something about Boeing? NSA agent, make note of that one.
I'm gonna do 9/11 too to raise awareness for the cause of planes crashing.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, powerful. It is. I think it might be a bad idea to say I'm going to do 9/11 too on a podcast, but you know what? I don't give a fuck. It would be good publicity for the show if I was in Guantanamo Bay. Kennedy, thank you for joining me today. Also, avenge me if I get swatted. Do you have anything going on you want people to check out?
Nah.
Me neither.
I got a new podcast, but I'll tell you about it next time, I think.
Ooh, that's exciting. That's called foreshadowing. I'm going to see a vision of your podcast and then die in a comical Rube Goldberg machine.
Yeah, chain flying through the dark.
As for me, you know where to find me, but you can support the show at patreon.com/worstweekyet. You can follow the show wherever you want to. And more important than all that, tune in again next week for more stories about planes crashing. Or almost crashing. Bad news.